Stephen Salaita is an American scholar, author, and public speaker in the realm of Arab-American studies, and he has seen at first hand what happens when an unpopular opinion is uttered in an academic setting. Some of his experiences may make you wonder if academic freedom of speech is as free as it's cracked up to be. He's in Hawaii to relate the Israeli occupation of the West Bank to the experiences of Native Americans and Native Hawaiians, and he's with us in our studio. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Chris.
Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me on.
What's your field of concentration, and what is the point that you're looking to make when you speak to academic audiences around the country?
Sure. I do Native American studies, Arab American studies, and indigenous studies more broadly. That's what I was trained in doctoral school, and that's what a lot of my scholarship and public speaking focuses on. And I'm trying to make historical connections among indigenous communities across the globe and trying to look at where they have points of shared struggle, shared history, and a potential for sort of working together to develop some of their social and political aspirations.
Are we in a kind of post-colonial world today where we're seeing a lot of the after effects of, 100 years ago, colonialism dominated a lot of human society around the world, didn't it?
It did, and it still does in some cases. So while I would say that the description post-colonial accurately describes significant portions of the world, much of the planet is still colonized. Palestine is one of those places. There are lots of parts of the Pacific and North America that can still be described as colonized. And so it's those areas of the world where they're still dealing with foreign settlement or still dealing with military occupation that I'm interested in.
Do they... places that are colonized necessarily know that they're colonized?
I think most of them do. Probably members of the colonial society don't always know it, but the natives certainly do.
The colonizers don't necessarily admit it that freely.
Yeah? That's right.
Well, because, you could certainly describe Hawaii in its past as an American colony, and there are many who would say that prevails today in a lot of ways.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. I would say that it still meets the many of the classic definitions of a colonized space.
You have related that to the West Bank.
Sure.
And when you do, you get some pushback, don't you?
I do, yes.
Why?
Well, it's a controversial issue. Anybody who deals with Israel-Palestine knows that people have very visceral emotional responses to the issue. People are deeply invested in it. The public fights that people have around the issue are legion, and I've certainly been involved with them at different points in my life. So
yeah,
my hands aren't free of that either. I've done plenty of arguing publicly and privately, and so it's just sensitive. But I think part of the reason that it's sensitive is because it is still ongoing in a very explicit way, and it's yet to be worked out. So people are invested not so much in getting a narrative across, but they're invested in trying to push for a certain outcome that would fit their politics. So for me, I'm interested in an outcome that's favorable to Palestinian freedom. But I think for a lot of other people, maybe my political opponents, the ideal outcome would be one in which Israel prevails. So, the fact that the two societies, Palestinian and Israeli, are still in such heated conflict means that the arguments and the rhetoric are also going to be heated as well.
It also means that resolution is not exactly on the horizon.
It doesn't seem that way, no.
Is there, anything that, if you were suddenly given the power, would there be a way to move that particular conflict towards some resolution?
I think so. If I were given the power, and I don't know who would bestow me that power, but
scary thought,
exactly. But if somebody were foolish enough to do that, I prefer a binational solution, one in which the borders get erased or mitigated, and everybody, regardless of faith background, of religious background, has equal rights and equal access to protection under the law. The two solutions that you hear bandied about and argued are the classic two-state solution, where the West Bank and Gaza Strip would would become a future Palestinian state, living side by side with Israel and a shared Jerusalem as the capital. But a lot of people, both political idealists and political realists, are beginning to show some skepticism about that possibility, given the large amount of Israeli settlements that exist in the West Bank. And so a lot of people, intellectuals, even some politicians, are thinking about binationalism as a possibility. The argument against it is that the vast majority of Israelis would not accept that outcome. But at the same time, I would say, you know, the vast majority of Israeli settlers won't accept an outcome where they're asked to pack up and leave and go back into pre-1967 Israel either. So no matter what solution is going to get found or implemented, a significant percentage of people are going to be unhappy.
Historically, and this is across the board, once people get power, once they get territory, they don't like to give it up.
That's correct. Exactly. Unless they're forced by a competing or a larger power to do so, they don't.
That would seem to be the cycle of human history and the cycle that gets us in trouble again and again.
Certainly modern history, yeah. But there is precedent with Israel doing it. It still controls the Gaza Strip by sea, by land and by air, but it did remove its settlers from the Gaza Strip recently. And, of course, after the 1967 war, Israel occupied the entire Sinai Peninsula of Egypt and ended up leaving it in I want to get my dates correct. The peace agreement, I think, was signed in 1979, and they ended up withdrawing from Sinai in the early 1980s, 1982 or 1983, I believe. So there is some precedent there, but it's never been an easy process, and it certainly requires intervention of a greater power. And in this case, the only greater power is the United States.
Which is unlikely to intervene.
Correct.
In a way that makes anyone happy, I would think.
Correct.
Steve, it's good to talk to you, and I look forward to hearing what you say at your presentations in Hawaii. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you so much for having me.
Stephen Salaita is the author of Internationalism, Decolonizing Native America and Palestine. He'll be taking part in several local speaking engagements this week, and you can find the details for them on our Facebook page, The Conversation.